Well, praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You know, I really appreciate what Brother Samuel said about victory in the Lord Jesus. You know, I don't know all the details about the election, but I'll tell you what. I thank God I've seen the Lord moving in some beautiful ways these last few months, actually. And I do know that there is victory in Jesus. I am so thankful that all we have his word, we have his promises, we can stand on the solid rock, and we can know that it's going to be okay. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. I really do appreciate everybody's prayers. I know, I think probably all of you are aware of the accident Brother Tim and I suffered back then in September, but you know, God has been really good. And I've had this wonderful privilege. I have physical therapy. I've had it twice a week for maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks, I guess, maybe 4 weeks. And you know, the Lord has opened up a real opportunity to speak to my physical therapist. And praise the Lord, we discussed almost so many things on Monday. And I was able to just show her. She has stated that she wasn't churched as a child, and she has a desire to know the Bible. And I was such a privilege that I had to share the good news with her, to tell her that God put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins, to give us hope, to give us eternal life, to make a way for us, to be our Savior, to be our God, to be the one that we put our faith and trust in. And you know, I just thank God. Tomorrow I'm bringing her a Bible, Lord willing, and you know, she's talking about wanting to find a church. She lives in Madison, and I don't know, I'm sure, hoping that somehow she'll find her way here, but you know, I thank God for what he's doing. I know as the darkness seems to get darker, the light shines all the brighter. Even just a little glow in the dark is going to glow against the great darkness. And praise the Lord, we can be that light. You know, we can shine in this world. I know there's people out there that are hungry. We talk to them. Amen. You know, Sunday, Brother Tim and I, we went on a walk. We passed out some tracts. I know one lady in particular may show up here at this church. She really did seem hungry. And, you know, we were able to go down to the car dealership yesterday and again have a little bit of a conversation with Path down there in the finance office there, and you know, there it was. We had given him a Bible, and there he had it up against the window there in his office, and also the other materials we gave him, and you know, just believing that God's going to work. Sometimes it seems like it's such a little bit, but God knows how to take our little and multiply it. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows how to use it. You know, just little words. Sometimes you just have moments to say maybe a sentence or maybe just a couple words, but God knows how to take those couple of words and use them for his glory and for his name's sake to help that person. Yes. Oh yes, to meet that need, whatever it might be. And wow, what a blessing, what a privilege it is to serve such a wonderful God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is victory in Jesus. Amen. He knows how to take us through this world. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this great and wonderful privilege. We thank you that we can stand on your promises. Lord, we have your word, and oh God, you've put so much within us. Oh God, you put that desire within us. You called us to that place of repentance. And God, I thank you for what you've done. We could not have done it on our own. Oh, Lord, we would not have had that desire even to look into thy word. And God, I thank you, Lord, that we could put our faith, our trust, our hope in thee, Lord. Oh, God, help us to ever lean on that everlasting arm. Oh, God, help us to trust in your mercies. Oh, God, help us to believe you with all our hearts, no matter what happens. Oh, God, I pray that you'd be with your people. I pray that your word would be in our hearts, Lord, that you'd magnify it within our beings, Lord. Oh, God, that, oh, Lord, you'd help us to repeat it and memorize it. And, oh, God, hide it deep away, Lord. Oh, God, for we know it's late. We're seeing great darkness upon this earth. Oh, God, we're seeing great trouble. We can hardly believe what we're hearing and what we're seeing. But, oh, God, we know that you know how to make a way. We know that, oh, Lord, tough times need to come before that day of thy appearing. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd work in us, that you give us faith, to give us that hope deep within. I pray that you'd work in us. I pray that you'd fill each and every one of us with the gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, God, that we could all have thy spirit abiding with us forever. Oh, God, that we could know the move of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, before this is all over. And I pray, oh, God, that you'd use these words here tonight. You know every need before we even begin. Oh, God, you know how to change lives, change situations, be with your people. Thank you for the good things you've done, Lord. Thank you for that good report concerning Penny's mother, Lord. And, oh, God, that, oh, faith that she's been healed, oh, Lord, the shingles. And, oh, God, I pray that you continue to help her, Lord. Oh, God, help Penny's grandson, Cooper, Lord, who broke some bones there in his leg. And, oh, God, I pray that you'd help the little boy, God. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, I pray that you would move, Lord. I pray that you continue to help Annalise. Anna Marika, Lord Jesus, and oh God, that you continue to give her strength and help and hope, yeah, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh God, you know how to direct every step. You know how to meet the needs of your people, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you work in us here tonight. Use this word for your kingdom and, oh, for the sake of your people, Lord. Oh God, oh Lord, I know I can do nothing without you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to, oh, draw us close to thee, Lord, and help us, oh God, to know how to think. Help us to have faith. Help us to believe the good report and go forward, oh God, and to claim those promises. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God, give strength here tonight, Lord. Let there be no hindrances, Lord, but oh God, let your word go forth in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes. There's victory ahead. Amen. Praise our God, the one who knows how to help us. Amen. Thank the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Well, we've been in 1 Corinthians, and now we're in the 15th chapter, and see how the Lord will direct us here tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. Before I begin this study here, I just would like to mention that it seems that this 15th chapter is divided into two parts. And in the very first portion of this chapter, and it's a long one, verses 1 through 34 seem to consider a problem that was occurring there, the Church of Corinth, and you know, we know from our study here that there have been many problems that Paul had to deal with, but lo and behold, it seems that somehow there was a party, or maybe several individuals within that congregation that seemed to think that the resurrection of the dead did not exist. That, you know, it wasn't a reality. And, you know, this is very shocking as, you know, we read this portion of scripture to realize that here's a church and within it there were, you know, this problem here. And Paul, of course, is going to go forth and you know, declare the proper response. And then, of course, there's another question as we go to the second portion of this chapter, and some of the questions that seem to exist there were, how were the dead raised up, and with what body do they come forth? So that seems to be the second part of this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So as we look at it, I just want to go to 2 Timothy here for a moment and read a small part of scripture here. But you know, this problem that was in the church at Corinth, obviously, you know, it wasn't, well, I'm not sure here, the referral here in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, if he's referring to the church at Corinth or there was another congregation where this also was a concern. But let's look at this here, 2 Timothy, the second chapter, and I'll start with verse 15. It says here, verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. But praise the Lord, in verse 19, Paul, writing to Timothy, reassures by saying, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this sealed. The seal, praise the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord knows his people. He knows those that name the name of Christ. But oh, yes, with that, there is a great need. And that need is to depart from iniquity. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, we need to give heed to the scripture. We need to regard sin. We don't want it to exist in our lives if we are professing the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, yes, I believe in this time period, you know, some of those that are radical to the left would dare say in their minds that they are a Christian. But oh, how pathetic and how wrong they are in making such a claim, because it's impossible. It's impossible, oh, to go with sin and to live in its ways and be right with God. But praise the Lord, we have the Word of God to lead us, to guide us, to direct us. Plus, he gave us the Holy Ghost, so that, oh yes, we could know right from wrong. We could be led by the Spirit of the living God. Yes. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, this point of the resurrection was something that obviously was, you know, something that many tried to refuse to believe. In fact, if you go to Matthew, the 28th chapter, we know that after Jesus rose from the dead, the chief priests were very concerned about this. And what did they do? They bribed soldiers. You know, they came up with a false teaching here that they told them to declare and spread. Just looking at this here a moment here, Matthew, the 28th chapter, it says here, verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, well, I better start a little earlier here, I think. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And then verse 11 says, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Verse 12, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. You know, usually the soldiers were in great jeopardy if they were guarding a situation and something happened to intervene and to change what they were guarding. But here, because, oh my, they didn't want the good news of the gospel to spread. These chief priests, so concerned about what they had heard, what had happened, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that they actually got together, they took counsel, and they decided that they would give large money amounts to the soldiers who had been guarding the tomb. And they told them to say, verse 13, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they, the soldiers, took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Oh my, isn't that something? Rather than to believe the good news, the wonderful, glorious gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, all the chief priests, the religious people, all bribed the soldiers to say that, you know, while we were guarding the tomb, his disciples came and did the impossible, really. Came by night and they stole him away while we slept. Oh my, that would have been a death sentence under normal considerations. But oh my, that's how determined the chief priests were to do whatever they could to make it look that Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. Isn't that something? And that saying was commonly reported, you know, as Matthew was penning this gospel. Isn't that something? Oh my, but I dare say there would be many, even in this time period, that would gladly deny the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, there's many that would not want to believe such a wonderful report. But praise the Lord. Thank God. We know, don't we? Amen. We have it in our hearts. We know that it is true. But praise the Lord. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians 15 and see how Paul dealt with this situation here. Praise the Lord. Verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. So here, these people, this church at Corinth, Paul had been the one to bring the glorious gospel unto them. He had preached it unto them. And praise the Lord, it didn't go in one ear and out the other. It says, which also ye have received. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, they were making a stand. Wherein ye stand. Praise the Lord. That's positive. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he goes on to say, verse 2, by which also ye are saved. And then we see that little two-letter word, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that's always a very hard thing when somebody that you know you worked with, somebody that you taught and you know you had shared with and all of that, gets to a point where the gospel is no longer in their heart. And they've disregarded it and forgotten it or just set it aside or whatever all, as if they had believed in vain. But here it goes. Here is the gospel. Paul is going to state it here. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures." Praise the Lord. So there he is outlining the good news, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's bringing it to mind here and reminding them, yes, that this is indeed the gospel, that which he had taught these people at Corinth. Oh, the wonderful plan of God. Oh, yes, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Praise the Lord, the death, the burial, and resurrection. And of course, we apply that gospel, don't we? Oh, yes, we die out to sin through repentance, don't we? We're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism.
Yes.
Yes, and we rise to walk in newness of life. Oh, yes, with the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, yes, we are able to apply the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Oh, praise the Lord for the plan of God. And then, oh, yes, Paul is just going on to remind them how it went after Jesus rose from the dead. It tells us, verse 5, "And that he was seen of Cephas," Cephas is Peter, by the way, "then of the 12," and he's speaking of the 12 apostles, of course, yes, the replacement after Judas Iscariot denied the Lord Jesus and went and did what he did. And then it says, "After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once," and that means more than 500 brethren at once, "of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." And then he records in verse 7, "After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles." Praise the Lord. And then Paul says, "And last of all, he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time." And so he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And, you know, I don't know the exact reference to what he's saying here when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. I can think of two possibilities. There in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, on the road to Damascus, when the great light, God shone it from the heaven and it stopped everything. There he was, Saul of Tarsus at that moment. And oh yes, how God changed him, how God met with him, how God disrupted his life. And oh yes, he began to realize that it was Jesus whom he was persecuting. That voice from heaven, oh yes, telling him that it's hard for thee, to kick against the pricks. And all that realization that hit Saul of Tarsus. Oh, he thought he was doing God's service by persecuting the Christians, but in reality, he was persecuting God's people, God's elect. Oh yes, because yes, it was Jesus. Jesus, was the one that spoke to him. Jesus was the one he was persecuting. And oh yes, Jesus was the one that interfered there in his life to let him know that, oh yes, he was persecuting God. And therefore, yes, that meant his work in opposition to Jesus was in great hindrance to the kingdom of God. So that was one point where, yes, God appeared to him in a mighty way. And then there's another reference in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, which is interesting, where Paul records that he wasn't sure if it was a vision or revelation or how it was exactly. He wasn't sure if he was in the body or out of the body. It had happened 14 years ago, there from the time that he was making this reference here in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. But oh, he was caught up into the heaven, the third heaven. He records, and he said he knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. But he saw things that he said it was not lawful for a man to utter. So my, whatever all God showed him at that moment, I'm sure it was glorious beyond words.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, he was caught up into paradise, it tells us, and he heard words that were unspeakable that he could not utter once he heard them. So I have a feeling he had a great vision of the glory of God and whatever all, but it was as if he had seen Jesus Christ as of one born out of due time. Praise the Lord. And yes, he said, he acknowledged, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Oh, you know, I have a feeling that that was always in front of him, you know, that, oh, that just turmoil within, that realization of all the trouble he had caused and people that were put to death because of his zeal in that regard. But praise the Lord, oh yes, because of that. Well, because of that, and I could say it would be like a burden on his back always. You know, I did this, this is my past, and oh, I wish I could change it. But oh, praise the Lord, God knows how to forgive and forget. Praise the Lord, God's grace is so great and so wonderful and so abundant. And Paul realized that. He says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and by his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he wanted to do everything that he could to make things right, to do as much as he possibly could for the kingdom of God. And oh, yes, he realized it was God's grace that had been bestowed upon him in such a magnificent way. Nothing that he could have ever deserved. But oh, yes, because of that, oh, there was a zeal now for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he labored more abundantly than even the rest, in realizing it was the grace of God that was within him. Praise the Lord, that had been shown to him. Praise the Lord, God's wonderful grace that had been shown to him, although there was no way he could ever deserve it. And so he goes on to tell us here, verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. So he's again talking here to the church at Corinth, and you know, he's saying, you know, the important detail here is that you believed. Amen. It isn't so much who it was that brought the gospel, but oh, the wonderful thing was that they had believed, they had received it. Amen, praise the Lord. But oh, now he goes on to talk about a problem again that is within that church body. So here he tells us, verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? I would say that's a heresy that was in their midst. Some of them among this group believed that there was no resurrection of the dead. And then, oh my, I am sure it was as shocking to Paul as it could be to any one of us. And so he goes on to just, oh my, you know, just give every reason that he can that, you know, this is, you know, crazy. We would have no hope. Our faith would be in vain. You know, our sins would not be taken from us if, you know, there was no resurrection from the dead. Oh my. So here he begins to discuss it. Verse 13 tells us, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Oh yes, the glorious gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, if what you're saying is true, that there's no resurrection of the dead, then, well, come on. There's no gospel. Then Christ is not risen. And then he says in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I mean, there's no purpose. If there wasn't the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, then, well, boy, there's nothing to this. It's over. It's in vain. And he goes on. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise, if the dead rise not. So, in other words, it's just impossible. This is, you know, we've witnessed, we've brought the good news to you, we've testified of it. And, you know, if what you are saying is right, then, well, we're false witnesses then. It would be all in vain. You know, we've been spinning a tale, in other words. But he goes on, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. One point after the other. And verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Oh, the glorious gospel. Oh, the fact and understanding that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. But oh my, if their theory was right, then oh my, there would be no forgiveness of sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, none of us would have any hope, in other words. It all would have been a fairy tale. In verse 19, it tells us, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God we know that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross and was buried, but we know of a truth, of a certainty that he has risen from the dead. But oh yes, Paul is stating, oh, if, you know, we just didn't have this hope that Christ was risen from the dead, and you know, we just walked without that, then we'd be of all men most miserable. Oh, praise the Lord. We have something beyond this world. We have a hope to cling to. We know deep in our hearts that, yes, one day we're going to forever be with the Lord. And, oh, there is going to be a resurrection of the dead. And, yes, Paul knew it of a truth, too, and of a certainty. But, oh, yes, you see, there was this discrepancy that had filtered in to the church at Corinth. And I don't know what percentage or how many, maybe just a few, I would hope. But still, it was something that was unbelievable and something that had to be put down for sure. So verse 20, he says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Praise the Lord. Oh, this is a certainty. This is a truth. And he goes on to say in verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it wasn't a happy day when Adam and Eve partook of that tree that was in the midst of the garden. That was a thing that would change them forever and be consequential to all that would live after that point. Yes, sin came into the world at that moment. It came by man's disobedience. But praise the Lord, there was a second Adam that came into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord, by him came life. By Jesus Christ came hope. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So that, oh, yes, there's a solution to sin. Oh, there's an answer. We don't have to live in our sins anymore. We can come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and turn our lives over to him and know that he will take those sins from our heart, from yes. our life, yeah, that he will take us and make us new creatures in Christ. Oh, yes, we have a hope beyond this world. Oh, yes, sin condemned them. Oh, sin put them in a very terrible place. Because now they had sin. And oh, sin separates us from God. So that condition brought a hopeless state before fallen man. But praise the Lord, it was a great hope that came forth when Jesus Christ came into this world, not only to live, but to die, to be buried, and oh yes, to be risen again from the dead. Praise the Lord. So he says, verse 22 again, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise the Lord. Oh, Jesus brought life, eternal life. And he goes on to say in verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And praise the Lord, if Jesus Christ had not been risen from the dead, then it'd be over. We wouldn't have that hope either. We would not be Christ at his coming. So yes, he's bringing all this to the light here, Paul, as he's instructing the church at Corinth. And then he's going to talk about another point here that is most interesting here. He says in verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And this is very interesting here. You know, I believe this is telling us that there is a point when all enemies will be put under his feet. And we'll go into some scripture here, because here he's quoting from Psalms 110, verse 1. But I believe he's telling us there is a point when the office of the sonship will no longer be necessary. Let's look at some of these verses here. Let's look at Psalms 110 here. Praise the Lord. Psalms 110 here. It's a Psalm of David. In verse 1, it says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Okay, in other words, until that time when thy enemies shall be smashed, when they be brought down, when they will be no longer there. Amen. So here is this point that is being brought out. And Paul is referencing it here in this 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And he says in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And, you know, there's some other references here in various places in the scripture, but let's just go to the book of Hebrews here for a moment. Looking at the first chapter here in the book of Hebrews, and just to realize there, this first chapter just is so revealing. It really describes Jesus Christ and tells us many, many details here. Just looking at it here, Hebrews, the first chapter, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who be in the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And it explains, verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. So praise the Lord, the wonderful eternal plan of God. Oh, yes, that he, the creator of the universe, praise the Lord, oh, the word of God would come forth, putting on flesh, being the brightness of the glory of God, because we know that God is a spirit. And in order for God to come to this world and save us from our sins, he needed a body. He needed a human body to do it. So yes, he became the express image of his person. God Almighty put on flesh to come to this world. Oh yes, so he might save us from our sins. Oh yes, here he was, the creator of the universe. Oh, he's the one that was holding all things up by the word of his power, who had spoke it all into existence. And therefore, yes, he held it up by his power. Oh, this earth that it just goes around. Oh, yes, it's because the Lord put it in orbit. It made it to rotate as it does. Oh, it's standing on the word of God. But praise the Lord, yes, God who robed himself in flesh to come as the Son of God. After he had purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, it tells us, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Because you see, it tells us, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Oh, praise the Lord. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might become the sons of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. The marvel of it all. So yes, there was that moment when Jesus Christ came into the world as the Son of God, and as God had ordained. And yes, he was begotten of the Father. And yes, it was declared, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. And then, yes, God would be as a father to him, and Jesus would be as a son to him. As that second part of verse 5 tells us, And then again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Oh, praise the Lord, yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the begotten of the Father, who came to this world to fulfill the plan of God, the eternal plan. Oh, yes, he came forth and he lived in victory. Oh, yes, he loved righteousness, he hated iniquity. And praise the Lord, God, even thy God, it says, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old, as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. So here is this reference, all that which we see forthcoming, the day when this earth shall perish, it shall vanish away. And oh yes, we see a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven. Praise the Lord, a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, this earth is going to be folded up like a garment.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. It's going to perish. It's going to pass away. But then, oh, the reference here that I wanted to refer to here in verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So yes, you know, that office of the sonship, until that final time when the enemies of God would be smashed and be brought down. Oh yes, and no longer exist. Oh yes, it is in the making, praise the Lord, and it will happen. Amen, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And we see a reference to this in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews 2. Praise the Lord. Let's just read a little bit in Hebrews, the second chapter. It says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which of the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Oh, praise the Lord. There he's quoting from Psalms chapter 8. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But then Paul adds here, but now we see not yet all things put under him. See, that moment has not yet been fulfilled. But oh, yes, it's in the making. But all things will fully, completely be put under the feet of Jesus Christ. And it says, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, the wonderful plan of God. Jesus Christ coming into the world to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, suffering, death. But oh, yes, so that we might come to him in faith and be saved. Amen. Oh, yes, that sin. Amen. Oh, yes. Could be destroyed. Praise the Lord, that blood of Jesus Christ, all availing against the sins of those that would come unto him in faith and believe and obey the gospel. Amen. Praise yes. the Lord. Praise the Lord. So here he's talking about, yes, that moment when all will be subdued, when all will be put under the feet of Jesus Christ. And before this chapter ends, we're going to know that, yes, that moment is forthcoming, that moment when death shall be swallowed up in victory, amen, and no longer be there to hinder and to destroy. Praise the Lord, and all things being put under the feet of the Son of God. Praise the yes. Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Amen. So here we have all this brought to mind, and of course, Jesus made reference to this too. There in three of the four Gospels, Jesus did quote there from Psalms 110, verse 1, and oh yes, he said, Luke 20, verse 42, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Oh yes. And he also made that statement. It's recorded in Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 36. And in Matthew, the 22nd chapter also, verse 44. Praise the Lord. Yes, so that is forthcoming. Amen. And yes, Jesus having paid the price and brought it to fruition so that it comes to that point where death is swallowed up in victory. And you know, there's a beautiful verse there in 1 John that I want to reference at the moment, verse 3, or chapter 3, where it tells us here, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And then verse 2 tells us, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, praise the Lord, the mighty God, the creator of the universe. Oh, the one that came to this earth robed in flesh. Oh, praise the Lord, that day of his appearing. And you know, John said, you know, we don't quite know. We don't quite be able to visualize it right now. But one thing we know, that when he does appear, that we're going to be like him. For we're going to see him as he is. Praise the Lord. In verse 3 here, in 1 John chapter 3 tells us, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Oh, that glorious hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to cling to it. Oh, how vital it is. What a difference it has made. Oh, yes, we could never deny it. But oh, yes, here was his problem in the church at Corinth. And Paul's going to go on to just discuss it a little bit more here as we look at verse 29 here. Tells us in verse 29, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And here, I remember many years ago, I was thinking, oh boy, it was one of my courses at the university, and I got into a discussion with the professor, actually, and come to find out he was a Mormon, and he stood on this scripture because he according to his beliefs, he believed that they would baptize for the dead. But oh my, this is not what Paul was referencing here. No, what Paul is talking about is the need and the fact that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we give our sins over to the Lord. We die out to the will of the flesh and all the other things that have been hindrances, and we give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're baptized, we're buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, and that is referred to a burial. Amen. So yes, when we take on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are buried with him in the waters of baptism, we die out to sin. And that's what baptism is all about. It's about dying out to our old man, to the old life, to the things that hindered us, that old concept, all those things that were upon us, those sins, all the wretchedness of all of that. It's given over to the Lord, and we die out to it. We become new creatures in Christ, therefore. Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Paul referenced it in the book of Colossians. He said in chapter 3 here of Colossians, verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Oh, the old way, the old will, the old emotions, it's a giving over to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that, oh yes, our life is now hid in Christ. Oh, so that now we're walking in the new way, in the living way. And oh, yes, those sins have been buried in the waters of baptism. Oh, it's brought out in Romans, the 6th chapter. Praise the Lord. Oh, it tells us here, Romans chapter 6, verse 3, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And he says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." And it tells us in verse 8, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he dieth, he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." And then verse 11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And of course, then, oh, it goes on. Verse 12, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof." But praise the Lord, oh yes. Verse 29 here in 1 Corinthians 15, "Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead?" In other words, for the remission of our sins as we die out to the old man. If we didn't have hope in the resurrection, then, oh my, why would we consider being baptized, is what Paul is asking here. What point would there be in being baptized for the remission of our sins if Christ had not risen from the dead, and if there was no resurrection from the dead? And then another point he makes in verse 30, and he says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Oh, there's always possibilities in this life, prospects of dangers, of troubles, of perils, of harms, of death, and all kinds of possibilities. But, you know, why? Why would we stand in jeopardy every hour if there was no hope beyond this world, if there was no resurrection from the dead? Oh, praise the Lord, if Jesus Christ had not rose from the dead, then why would we stand in jeopardy? And he says in verse 31, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then he says, I die daily. And of course, he's talking about dying out to the old man, to the flesh, to the wills of the flesh, all those things that try to intervene in a life. And he's admitting here, yes, you know, that's a matter of way of life with me. I die daily to the will of the flesh, to the ways of sin, to the old man. And then he goes on to say in verse 32, if after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You know, that might as well be our way of thinking if there is no resurrection of the dead. But oh, he's talking about great things that he's already got through, fighting with the beasts at Ephesus. Why would I do that? I might as well eat and drink and be merry, or tomorrow I'm just going to die. Of course, that's a manner of so many as they think. But oh my, something had crept into this church at Corinth, and oh my, he had to put it down, for it was a downright lie that would bring no hope to the gospel. And he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And oh yes, the word communications there talks about communion and companionship. And obviously something, like I said, you know, it had crept in there. And he's declaring it, be not deceived. These things that sneak in and try to disrupt and to hinder and destroy. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And then verse 34 tells us, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Oh, I don't know how this could have happened, but oh yes, thank the Lord that Paul knew that this compromise, this vain teaching, this heresy in reality that had crept into the church had to be put down. Oh yes, as he declared, if we had only hope in this life, then oh, we would be of all men most miserable. But thanks be to God, we know the one who came to this earth to save us from our sins, to give us hope beyond this world. Oh, yes, to make a way of escape from the jeopardy that sin had put the human race in. And thanks be to God here, oh yes, as Paul had to bring forth this message to dispel this heresy. Oh, so it is tonight. The glorious gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is indeed a reality. And thank the Lord we can cling to it. Oh, yes, we can hold to it. We know, yes, of a surety that there's going to be an end. Oh, this which Jesus Christ has done, oh, yes, there's going to be that day. And it's forthcoming. It's coming soon. Oh, yes, we're seeing this world crumbling. It's shaking like we've never seen it shake before. And we know that there's going to be an end. And as this chapter of 1 Corinthians, and Lord willing, I will go through the second portion next week if the Lord wills. But oh yes, there is this moment when death will be swallowed up in victory. All things be put under the feet of Jesus Christ so that it's over. Sin has been brought down. Faith, sin has been destroyed. Praise the Lord. And yes, it will be swallowed up in victory. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So yes, as Paul declared, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he says the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Thank the Lord. Oh, we know that we serve a risen Lord. Amen. And we have that reassurance in our heart that one day, though we be dead, our bodies will be raised from that grave. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have hope in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnal to number 294 and sing Victory in Jesus, number 294.
Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary.
wonderful night.
Thank you.